Welcome to Cold Omaha's High School Hockey Podcast. I'm Danny Ryan. Joining with me, as always, is Tony Scott from the Youth Hockey Hub. Hey, Tony.
How you doing, Danny?
Good, good. And Carl East joining us from Duluth, which is aptly his hometown.
Yep.
How's it going, Carl?
That is indeed true. Doing well, thanks.
Well, I think we saw a lot of games this weekend between us three, being the holiday tournaments that just happened. Saw a lot of good players. I think the first thing that we want to talk about is the players that are committing right now. We're seeing a spring of players that are committing. One that Tony aptly called last show, and Ben Brinkman to the Gophers.
Ben Brinkman committed on Christmas Eve. I got the call, and
Santa came early.
Oh, yeah, Santa came early. Actually, it was kind of weird. He had a tweet that came out 4 hours before he committed that says, "I can't take this anymore."
Yeah.
when I saw that, I got on the horn and made a couple calls, and sure enough, he had committed to the Gophers, and it was a big commit for them because it's a big commit. Springs constant controversy, especially on that message board of Carl's. Mm-hmm. This is wrong. It's wrong, but I went in and I vehemently said, hey, the Gophers had to get Brinkman. If they lost Brinkman, Silanoff, and Janicki, all ninth graders to Notre Dame, they'd be calling for his head. So here he is. He's the best player in ninth grade in maybe the country, for sure the state of Minnesota. Big, big pickup for the Gophers, no matter what age and no matter what the philosophy is over in Dickeytown.
Well, and the other thing, too, with Brinkman going to the Gopher, he's going to play with his D partner, at least for a little bit, in Clayton Phillips, who's also going to the U.
Yeah, and it's funny, in my article that I wrote about it, it wasn't a big factor of his just to play with the Edina kids. It was something that he'd always dreamed about, playing for the Gophers, and his, the best school, best city, best big city, Big Ten, the whole thing was a bit, the whole package of going to the U for him.
The joke for a while has been, that Edina players don't go to the Gophers, but they've picked up a couple in a row here now, so.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, Walker, too.
Walker, I mean,
Wait,
I mean, when was the last one to actually skate with the Gophers? That would have been Budish, right?
Budish, but other than that, I got to go.
Well, let's talk about some players that we think is our next commitment. Tony, who's yours?
Well, there's so many of them, but I'm hearing around the rink that Jack Purbix from Elk River is the hot ninth grade commodity right now, and he's just he's 6'1", he's in ninth grade, he's one of the top scorers for Elk River, he's probably one of the most complete players out there. Again, another ninth grader. I know people are sick and tired of hearing about ninth graders committing to schools, but this kid is the real deal. He's kind of a Riley Tufte type, where he'll be 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", spit that out 10 times. He'll be a big kid. Both his mom and dad are pretty tall. He's got unbelievable hands. He's just going to get better and better. Whatever school gets him will be very blessed.
Well, and he's a freshman, but he talks back. I mean, at the Edina Holiday Classic, he was talking back to Mitch Mattson.
He's from Elk River. That's par for the course. They're tough. They're nasty. That's what Jack is. He's the full package.
Okay, Carl, who's yours?
Well, I'm going to stick with the name that I threw out there last week. It's Wyatt Ahmed from Hermantown. I think there's no bigger uncommitted senior in the state than Wyatt. He's having a huge year again. He has offers. It's just a matter of him choosing which one he wants at this point, and so I look for that to come pretty soon.
I wouldn't be surprised if he chose Duluth, to be honest, because Pionk went there. Bruce's kids tend to like to go to Duluth. That's just my opinion on that, but I see that as a possibility.
Yeah, that's a slight family connection to the Hermantown program there. So
that's a safe bet. Yeah. It's so funny. I did a story on Hermantown last summer, and driving into Hermantown, there's a gigantic billboard. You're in Welcome to Bulldog Country. Literally the city limits of Hermantown.
Yeah. And as Carl mentioned, Scott Sandlin's kid, the head coach for the Bulldogs, currently plays for...
Oh, he lives there. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yep. So for Hermantown. So all the same, I think my pick right now is Marco Reifenberger for Hill. It's one person that we haven't really talked about that much this season, but he's got great forward potential. He loves to dig for the puck. He's got that Hill grittiness along with him. And he's getting looks at from everywhere, from the USHL, WHL, and everywhere. So I think he'll be the next one to drop, too. And his dad actually played pro, too. And he played at University of St. Thomas and was drafted from them. So he's got a good pedigree along with him.
I don't think it's a bad choice. I think you're gonna have to wait a little bit longer on Marco than these first two that we've mentioned. I mean, I think he's definitely a Division I player. Oh, I could name three or four more.
Oh, geez.
You'll have to read my website to get those.
That's the youth hockey hub that Tony's referring to.
Right.
Okay, so with the holiday tournaments that happened this weekend, the St. Louis Park tournament and the Schwann's Cup Gold Division mainly that we'll talk about, we're going to go into a rapid fire rounds with Carl's rankings, using them as our top 10 and breaking down each team. So,
with specific emphasis that these are Carl's rankings, I have no attachment to these rankings.
So, Carl, we look to you to defend your written word, per se.
Sure, yeah.
And so, let's start off with Benilde. Benilde goes ties Lakeville North in the first game of the St. Louis Park Holiday Tournament.
What a great finish, by the way.
Yeah, 4-4 game. Carl, you were at that game, right?
Yep.
And I think you were too, Tony, right? Yep. Okay, and then they beat Elk River 3-2, and they beat Benilde beats Maple Grove 4-3. I think the keys with Benilde, not just number one, but in this tournament, was injuries, wasn't it, Carl?
Yeah, well, you really saw how important Connor Mayer is to this team at this tournament. He was out with a concussion for this tournament, and you know the difference on the blue line is night and day. And you know this Benilde team had been rolling through teams early on. You know everything seemed, every game was a challenge this week, and it's you know every single game was. So very exciting, great hockey to watch, but it was tough sledding for them at times. And give them credit, they still pulled out two wins in tie. But yeah, it was a difficult one.
As important as Connor Mayer is, I still think that Augie Morris is as important to this team, and him missing hurts them more because he's just such a spark plug up front.
Well, and leadership too from Augie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
why are they number one, Carl? It's quick.
They're undefeated. It's that simple. I mean, they're winning the games they need to win. They've beaten Blaine. They've beaten Prairie, which is you know, number two and three. I think
they've beaten every number one section seed in the state that they've played.
That they've played.
About the most impressive resume.
They're undefeated, so they would have had to.
No, but they haven't played Le Sueur Henderson. I mean, they've played a really strong set of teams. I mean, it's amazing.
Yes, they've
and they'll knock out that not after Tuesday they'll have. According to my predictions, they will have beaten another number one siege, Section 3 St. Thomas.
So, and I think Benilde's strength of schedule will go down now that conference play starts up. Their conference is not as strong. Having Chanhassen is not really a strong conference opponent. But let's move on to number two. Carl, you have the Blaine Bengals in there. They played no holiday tournaments this weekend. Mainly because a couple of years ago they were kicked out of Schwann's Cup. So this year they played, before the holidays started, they played Eden Prairie, beat them 5-2. After the holidays, they beat White Bear Lake 5-0, and then beat Duluth East on Saturday 5-2 again. So why Blaine at number two? Carl.
Well, I think that there's no secret with this team. It's Riley Tufte. I mean, I've never seen a forward carry a team as much as Tufte has, and for a top five team, you know, he's in the way he had a hat trick against East yesterday. I mean, he was basically their whole offense in that game. So, I mean, it's kind of a one man show, but it's working for them, and it's been great.
I like this choice as number two from a ranker's perspective. I know they beat Eden Prairie, but ultimately, I'm going to keep Eden Prairie number two in my rankings. Just because I think they're stronger long term, I think they're built to beat Blaine. They would beat Blaine in the state tournament.
I'd agree with that too, certainly. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing with Blaine is I did a big breakdown this weekend with the goal differentials, one team score, and stuff like that. Taking all the stuff from the Hockey Hub and putting it into a spreadsheet, and Blaine had scored 27 first period goals. That's I think. Tied with Stillwater then, but that's by far and away one of the best first period totals that we can think of. And so they get on you quickly, and then they wear on you with Tufte's size. And I think that's what makes this team very, very deadly.
Yeah, and we should give the second and third line some credit too. And they don't score much, but they know what to do within their system. They hold up, they're steady, and they don't make too many mistakes, which is important.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, now let's move on to number three, Eden Prairie Eagles. Eden Prairie played in the Schwann's Cup Gold Division with a late win over Burnsville 2-0. Eden Prairie then beat Hill Murray 4-2, which I was at, and then beat Minnetonka 4-3 to win the Schwann's Cup Gold. Is the Schwann's Cup curse still in effect, Carl?
Yeah, well, I think Eden Prairie is, you know, they were in preseason number one. There's obviously a very strong team, and they're proving that. They're continuing to do it. I mean, there's nothing terribly flashy this week in the Schwann Cup, you know, fairly low scoring wins, but they're just getting the job done. They've won their two big tournaments already this year, and no surprises there.
Tony, we've heard you hype Eden Prairie all season. Why or should we still be thinking of them as number two?
They can't. They're so dynamic offensively, and I think in a state tournament, goals are a premium. And
yeah.
I still think when it's all said and done, it's going to be Duluth East and Eden Prairie in the state championship game.
Well, and I look at their team. Casey,
no offense to Benilde. I think they're great. But I just when it's all said and done, that's what we're going to be watching on Saturday night in March.
Eden Prairie's top scorer is Casey Middlestad with 28 points. But he's got 11 goals. Michael Graham's got 10 goals. Nolan Sullivan's got 10 goals. That's depth, okay?
And Cole Lawrence.
Yeah, and Cole Lawrence is right behind it.
I don't know what his stats are,
but he's up there,
impressive.
Too. And so you look at this team with goal-scoring depth, they are very good on their top two lines. And so that's why I like them at number three as well.
I'd like to see, I just thought this, I'd like to see Lee Smith do more with his third and fourth lines to develop these guys because they're going to
make it a
like
true third.
Seems like he's just, he seems like he's just riding those horses too hard right now. It's like he's got to lighten up, he's got to lay off the horses right now because I think he's going to wear them out.
I think he's got to make a true third line.
Yeah, he's got tons of resources here. This is not like a dry oil field. I mean, this is it's got plenty of them.
Yeah, so I think it is definitely possible for him to do that on this team for sure. Guess one of the only weaknesses on that team would probably be goaltending right now.
Yeah, and who knows? I mean, they don't see a lot of shots. They don't get a lot of pressure pack situations. So yeah. I agree.
Okay, now moving to a team that we probably haven't given enough love to so far this season. And number
I will four. Later.
Tony's
will
admitting
later.
That
I
he will
promise
later.
I will later.
We'll get there.
But a team that went undefeated in the St. Louis Park Holiday Tournament.
They won it, according to one Twitter handle.
Well, I digress. That's Holy Family Fire. Holy Family beat Stillwater 5-3. Beat Lakeville North 4-2 and beat Prior Lake 5-2. Those are all good wins. And why is this team number four now, Carl?
I think you have to give Noel Ron a lot of credit for what he's done with this team. You know, they have been playing a really good puck possession, up tempo game. They're pushing hard. They have two great players, Will Guerin and Matt Anderson, but they also have good depth and they're just, you know, wearing teams out. You know, and the first period of that game, Stillwater looked very good. I thought they were the better
team
at the beginning, but Holy Family just kept coming and coming, and they're just relentless right now.
How about Ethan Messler?
Yeah.
Guy's on fire.
He's got 9 goals, 9 assists. That's a good number.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Putting him out in front of the net there with him, have Guerin beating him with the Fox. Great combination, yeah.
Well, and Messler is like 6'1", 6'2". He's a bigger body as well. So, and I think if they can add a second layer of depth on this team, that only helps them going forward. I still see them as the second-best team in Section 2AA, but they are making progress compared to how I saw them in the beginning of the year where they lost to Edina and lost to Breck, which this Breck loss seems like a good loss, and the Edina loss doesn't look as bad.
Well, here's the interesting thing. So, Now we're going to go into conference play, and Holy Family is going to go play Hutchinson six times.
Yeah, and Litchfield.
Right, and no offense, and Eden Prairie is going to go play Dino Wyzetta.
Yeah,
and go through a meat grinder, and some idiot's going to say, "Oh, Holy Family deserves the number one seed, even though they haven't played it." And it's just Eden Prairie deserves that number one seed until
they crash and burn. The rest of the season.
Maybe twice,
They'd have to lose by five goals in the Lake Conference for me to say, no, they don't deserve it.
Yeah, because it's just, okay, yeah, I agree. I don't have any other words to describe that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's move to number five, Minnetonka. They are now 9-4 with making it to the gold division of Schwann's Cup Finals after they beat Centennial 3-2, Edina 3-2, and then lost to EP, like we just said. 4-3. So why Tonka at number five, Carl? This is a team that's I think is kind of an enigma. Not a very offensively talented team, but they're making moves right now.
I'm definitely going on a limb with this pick because you know, certainly
you
I don't think anyone has been Tonka's top five team
say
of the start
twice.
Of the year. But
out on a limb, say that twice.
But if you look at their record right now, though, I mean they have one goal lost to Eden Prairie, one goal lost to to Holy Family, one goal lost to Blaine. So three of the top four teams. They also lost to Grand Rapids in their first game on the road.
Yeah, and which I was there.
They beat Hermantown 3-0. They beat St. Thomas, which looks like a stronger win now than it did at the time. They beat Edina. No, they're taking care of the games they need to win. They're doing well.
Yeah, I think they're grinding. This is a team mm-hmm. that might not have a lot of names on their team yet with their Bantam programs.
They're young.
They're still young.
Their best players are their youngest, but they have some seniors that have 2-3 years experience.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
It's not surprising that they're good. I mean, they're still the third best team in that section.
It's not a team that I want to put a lot of money on, but it's one that's playing well right now, and I think that's a good point.
I wouldn't be surprised if they make it to state. I mean, that section is that
they were a
2AA is the new 6AA.
Minnetonka mm-hmm. was a fluke away from making it to state last year.
Oh yeah,
that
trickling behind.
That misplay. Oh, yeah. That's how much they were so close to making it to state. So they have the talent to do so.
Oh yeah.
Talk about a talented team now at number six. That is probably weird to say Edina's number six, but they, went through the Schwan's Cup gold, tying St. Thomas, and they dominated this game pretty much the whole way through. Mm-hmm. I was there. I was holding my breath, that St. Thomas would pull out a win, but there was no chance, really. And then they lost to Minnetonka, which, again, they lost to Minnetonka last year in the Schwan's Cup. So I don't know how much to read into that one, but then they beat Hill Murray, which is a good win, 5-4. Carl, why are they number six?
I think you just look at the schedule they've played so far. It's probably the toughest in the state. They've run the gauntlet, and they've come out looking pretty good. Nine wins, a couple of quality ones there. Hill Murray, Elk River, 4-0. That looks like a good win now.
Yeah.
They beat Holy Family at the start of the year, albeit they didn't have care in that game, but still a good win. They're doing what they need to do,
I'm not sold on this team. How about you, Tony?
Well, I watched the Minnetonka game. I watched the St. Thomas game. I just think they're solid. I mean, there's a lot of
talent.
They're
not bad.
No.
But they're not Edina.
See, that's what you're thinking. You just keep staring out there waiting for Connor Hurley or Dylan Malmquist to come out there. They're not coming. But you know what? They still are three lines deep, and they hang with everybody.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is Casey Dornbach's their third leading scorer. He's got 16 points through 15 games. That's not that impressive. I'm looking at Riley Tufte's numbers, and they're astronomical. And
pawn compared to a king. I mean, this is.
But I say that because Casey Dornbach's a college commit as well, and he's a true winner at every level.
Yeah, that's documented. Yeah. He's a great hockey player, but like you said 2 weeks ago, he's a wingman. He's not he's not going to take the center stage like Riley Tufte.
Yeah.
I mean, just look at their bodies. I mean, there's just no comparison between the two.
No.
And I just think this is going to be, Kurt's going to put together a good run in Section 6, and Benilde better be ready.
Yes. And I think it's never a team that you want to play in the playoffs because Kurt gets his teams up.
Yep.
Okay, let's talk about a team that I texted Carl after the Wayzata win last week and saying, yay, we get to talk about St. Thomas Academy, which I don't know why you ranked them this high because they do not deserve a number 7 ranking. Why did you put them at 7 after tying Edina, which was a 4-2 win over Centennial and then a tie against Wayzata?
If you look at the rankings right here, they tied Edina, who's number 6. They tied Wayzata, who's number 8. So it just makes sense. They're by two teams that they just tied. For losses, Minnetonka and Holy Family are both great teams.
And they're ahead of them now.
Yeah.
Yep. And
he's riding that Holy Family Minnetonka wave right now.
Yeah, so I think
his rankings are definitely biased on a couple teams.
Here's the thing about St. Thomas, when I've seen them play, is this is not a disciplined St. Thomas team. This is a St. Thomas team that needs to grind a lot to get points. They pretty much play two defensemen in Robbie Stucker and Jason Smallage. One of the other is out there at every time that they're on the ice. And they have trouble scoring without Billy Jerry on the ice consistently.
They're definitely thin.
And Willie Rhyme's been out with injury. He had a bruise on his calf or something like that, and he's a top player. Is he an elite league player? I can't remember.
Rhyme. Yeah.
Yeah, he's an elite league player. He's 6'3". He's a good body. And St. Thomas is traditionally a smaller team. So I think this is a team that can only get better – but I don't see them at number seven right now.
Their best player is a freshman.
Who's that?
Robert Christie.
You think?
Yeah. Oh, it wasn't even. He led their team in puck possession in both games. He's incredible, and he's only
good.
Ninth grade.
And he's the problem is he's small. He's an undersized.
No, he's not. I'm thinking Ray.
I'm thinking Ray's
smaller. His Sorry. Older brother Ray is a sophomore. He's smaller. Robert's 6'1", 6'2".
Okay, yeah.
He owned the puck. He's scoring points. He hasn't been on the varsity the whole year. He will be on the rest of the year.
Yeah, guaranteed on that
He provides them the spark. I think he's one of the reasons they've done well in the last few weeks.
And goaltending, timely, has been good as well. Vinny Capeza stepped in.
He was awesome.
I know. He was standing on his head. Down low, he was smothering
Typical
pretty well.
Typical St. Thomas, bring in some kid that no one's heard of, and it's unbelievable.
David Zebnik. Yeah. I mean, no. List goes on. Okay, and now a team that has more issues than our Kardashian family, I think, Wayzata at number eight. Wayzata loses a blowout.
Clear desperation. Carl had nothing in the tank. He's like, oh, I'll just put Wayzata there. I mean, they have one of the worst resumes in this list.
I don't like this team. They're on a downward spiral of despair.
But you know what he's going to lean on, though?
What?
Holy Family.
Yeah, well,
they beat Holy Family. Okay. Go ahead, Carl. Let's hear it.
They also beat Edina.
Yep.
And beat up on Burnsville, tied St. Thomas. You know, you never know what you're going to get out of this team. You know, when they play at their best, you know, they have the talent to play with anyone. And we've also seen, you know, them have some huge clunkers, too. So we'll find out which is the real one in the second half. I don't know. But
Mark Sendin has three goals, Carl.
Yeah.
Three goals. Okay, that's probably their best player. Mm-hmm. And he's got three goals.
Wow.
He's their leader.
I still think Sorensen's their best player.
Yeah, but as far as the kids that, you know, who look up, Sendin's the they look up to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And,
they look up to Sendin, and they look over their shoulder for Herman.
Yeah.
What's he doing now?
Okay, moving on quickly. Number nine, a very hot team right now in Elk River. They beat Prior Lake 3-2, lost to Benilde Barely 2-3, and beat Lakeville North 4-2. I think this is a team that finally got hot after the Grand Rapids game. What about you, Carl?
Yeah, and when you watch this team, you see they don't really make mistakes. They're just playing really smart hockey right now. They're just doing a decent job. They've got the top-line combination of Zerben and Michaelis, who are putting a bunch of pucks in the net, and they look pretty good.
Yeah, I agree. I like their goaltender and Ben Myers. Yeah. I think he's very good.
I saw these guys play this summer against Wayzata. It was a 1-0 game. Perbix, by the way, who I predicted to be the next kid to commit.
Yep.
He scored the only goal in that game, and I said to myself, man, they just took Wayzata, who's just, you look at that list of the kids on Wayzata,
yeah,
Duma,
it's very good.
Sendin and Sorensen, all these guys are in that game. This is a great midsummer game, the middle of July, and I'm thinking, if Elk River just took it to them, I mean, they really did. It was kind of a lopsided game. It was a 1-0 game, but I thought Elk River was the better team, and I put them in my rankings on the message board. And I almost got banned from the message board for putting them in the top 10. And now, look, they're in the top 10, and people are giving them all kinds of respect. That junior class they have that is not include Jax Murray in it yet is a really strong class of kids, and they work super hard. They're the kind of kids that are, I call it the hockey stick, where they're slowly but surely get better every time you see them play. Nate Horn, Michaelis, Zerbs, all those guys are really good hockey players. This is a team that's trending. They're the number one seed in
Section one. I was just about to say that.
7AA. And I still think they could be in the winner's circle at Amsoil in late February.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're number one. And after that Grand Rapids game, they're trending up. And I think really, if they believe in themselves, they can come out of the section pretty easily, judging how the other teams in the section are just not playing up to their ability.
Right. No doubt about it.
Okay, number 10. I got a team that Carl really doesn't love at all in Stillwater. Stillwater played in the St. Louis Park tournament, lost to Holy Family, which we talked about, 5-3. Beat Maple Grove 8-2, beat Moorhead 6-2, and yet Carl has them at number 10 with one loss right now.
Yeah.
Explain this, Carl.
Yeah.
Well, they're there because they played two tough games in that stretch, and they lost one of them to Holy Family. The other one, Lakeville North, they escaped despite getting outshot by a ton.
Yeah.
Lakeville North's first game of the season with a completely new defense and goaltender.
Yeah.
And And watching this team, you know, they have two very nice lines. They move the puck well. They're a decent team, but I think that really makes me skeptical of them is their schedule. I mean, they play no one. They're not going to get much competition down the stretch. And I wonder, you know, going into a playoff game against a battle-tested team, are they going to be ready for that? And just that's what I wonder about with Stillwater.
I agree. I still think Hill Murray has a chance of beating them. Where weeks ago, I would have laughed at that notion. I still think that Hill Murray will be.
I think Hill's on the upswing. Yep. Where Stillwater's going to plateau.
Well, I still think Stillwater, again, I talk about those junior classes. That's another really good junior class. Yeah. That those kids, you know, I was talking about Michaelis and Zerbin and those guys as, you know, hardworking kids. They aren't getting D1 scholarships. Same with
true.
The junior class over at Stillwater. I mean, we're talking Manning and Cates and Matt.
Mapstone?
No, Matt. God, I'm totally drawing a blank on Matt Stanton. Okay. There's some really good players at that class. I think this team, I think they're stronger than Hill Murray. And I think I will have them ranked higher than number 10 come Tuesday on my site.
I think coaching gives Hill an edge in that matchup, though.
Matt's a good coach. I mean,
yes, but Lechner knows how to get his kids up.
Okay, all right.
And that's
Matt's beat him before, and I think he could beat him again.
Agreed, but in my opinion, there's no coach, or there's only a couple coaches that get their kids up for every game, and definitely Coach Lechner is one of those players, coaches. I would say Giles is probably the other one. And those are some of the only coaches that you know that you're going to see the best out of their team every single night.
Okay.
Let's now loop back to what we did last show. We gave some apologies to some teams. But I feel like this week some people owe me an apology.
Yeah, we'll do both. You want to go first?
Yeah, I think a team that definitely owes me an apology that I hype all the time is Grand Rapids. And this Grand Rapids team is struggling right now, and struggling is an understatement. They're right now letting in a goals against average of 3.15. That's terrible. Okay, this is a very good defense. Stompauer is good. They have good goaltending. And it boggles me that they can be that bad defensively. Their penalty kill is going at 68.5%. It's just not looking good for the Thunderhawks right now, and they need to right the ship, and this is a good week to do it.
No, they have a huge week, and we'll talk a lot.
Yeah.
Two of our games of the week are at Grand Rapids this week, so we'll talk about them some more.
And a team that I want to apologize to is St. Thomas Academy. Obviously, I've been a little bit negative and pessimistic towards them. I even texted one of their assistant coaches telling them that they deserve to be in Swans Cup bronze this year, not gold. So I think
bronze and gold kind of look alike.
Similar. Yeah. Well, they would have won it. I could tell you that much.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
But I'll apologize. They did go undefeated through Schwann's, and they looked good against the YZ game at home and beating them 5-1 or 5-0. So they're looking better than we thought they would.
All right, I'm going to do my apologies now. I'm going to apologize to Holy Family. They have just strung together a lot of nice wins lately. I saw them play a couple times over in St. Louis Park. I got to tell you, that was a nice-looking squad. And it's not just Matt Anderson. It's not just Garen. That's a really complete team. They have two unbelievable goaltenders.
The goaltending is what stands out.
I mean, both of them, Moe and Stauber, made unbelievable saves in every game that they played this week. I have a feeling they've peaked, but you never know. You never know. That's a really good squad. They're definitely number two now in my 2AA, so I apologize to Holy Family.
The thing about their goaltending is their goals against right now is 1.92, and that is like third best in the Class 2A, only behind Bemidji, who plays this off the schedule on the face of the planet. And
they don't know how to get south of, you know, the Mason-Dixon line.
St. Cloud South, man. St. Cloud is way south.
I had some Twitter guy say, well, you know, there's the streets go both ways. You know, like people can come up there. I'm like, yeah, well, Apollo came up there and Rapids came up there. But,
and Hill Murray's going up there.
Yeah, it's like street doesn't come down here somehow.
And the other team that they're only 0.01 ahead of is Prior Lake, and Prior Lake's been playing sound defensively.
Which is a great segue into the apology back. Yes. I believe Prior Lake owes me an apology. I had him in the top 10. We talked him up big 2 weeks ago, and they did nothing but deflate.
Deflategate.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so disappointed in my Lakers right now. Joey Pankrans and his squad, they just couldn't get him up. Couldn't beat. I mean, they lost their first two games, yeah. And then when they had to beat Holy Family in a big section seating game, they couldn't pull it off.
No, so. That's a huge section seating game, and they just fell flat on that.
Yeah,
race.
Yeah. So,
and watching them play, you know, they can skate with anyone. They're, you know, move the puck well in the offensive zone, but they just get caught off the ice so often and just getting burned on these breakaways. And it's, you know, their defense, they need to play some D.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay, Carl, what about you?
Okay, I'm going to want an apology from Lakeville North here. I know I keep defending them, making excuses for them. But, yep, here they are, 5-4-1 after 10 games. You know, they're not playing badly all the time, but, you know, keep out shooting these teams and losing games they probably should do better in. Because, like, Holt Stanley, Elk River, Farmington loss, obviously, big one that stands out. So, still waiting for Lakeville North to really come through for me. I dropped them out of the top 10, so we'll see what they do now. But, yeah.
Okay. And who are you going to apologize to? I got a feeling I know what it's going
to
be.
Yeah, I'm going to apologize to Bemidji because I had them in the top 10 and I whacked them all the way down to number 14 after just one loss. I mean, one loss to Cloquet, but I mean, and I feel bad about this because I'm a Northern boy, but you know, when your signature win is Brainerd, you know, it's tough to justify a top 10 ranking right now.
I love that. That's one of my favorite lines in your rankings that came out. I was like, yeah, wow, that is a kick in the balls. So let me tell you, your biggest win is Brainerd. Wow, isn't that true?
Okay, let's talk about some games that are happening this week, starting off.
Let me cut you off really quick. So yeah. We're going to talk about some games. We're going to go out of order a little bit.
Okay,
we're
going to
go.
Sorry.
We'll talk about three games, and then we'll talk three games of the week that we're going to do a little pick 'em session. So go ahead. Start with three games. Sure. I realize these are out of order, but just bear with us.
Okay, but the first two that we want to talk about are on Tuesday. First one is St. Thomas Academy versus Benilde. I think this matchup has intrigue in the sense that Benilde's hurting with injuries, and St. Thomas is not doing that bad. They're getting Willie Rhyme back. I think he played in the Schwann's Cup, but I think he'll be even healthier now. I think this game is normally pretty close. It's a fluky goal away from being a three-goal game win, but it's one of those that each team gets up for, definitely each year, being a private matchup.
I got nothing to say about this game. I already know what's going to happen.
What's going to happen?
Benilde's going to win by 4 goals. I just think after watching what Edina did to St. Thomas, it's going to be more of the same, but I can't think that the goaltender can hold up against Benilde. Benilde's just way too fast and way too deep.
Carl?
Yeah, I'm not going to pick against Benilde until they lose.
Okay, yeah. That's fine. Next game on Tuesday, we're going to talk about a little bit Grand Rapids versus the Hermantown Hawks, a little Hawk matchup, Thunderhawk versus Hawks. This is at IRA. What do you like about this game, Tony?
Well, I love this game. I almost wanted it in our pick'em session, but we can't have Grand Rapids in two of the three games. So this is a great game. This is kind of like, for me, this is the best two teams in northern Minnesota. I mean, when you anything in the 218, this is the 218 state championship as far as I'm concerned.
Yep.
Sorry, Duluth East. Sorry, East Grand Forks. Sorry,
Cloquet.
Moorhead, Bemidji, Cloquet.
Yeah.
This is the two best teams in the north. I love this game because it just means a lot. These two teams play against each other in youth all the time. They know each other really well. They play with each other in the Elite League. They play in the Ibanim Elite League.
Yeah.
These kids know each other really well. There are a lot of bragging rights on the line for this one. No real section seeding, no real value to this game other than just straight up pride. And I'm going to go, I got to go with IRA home ice advantage on this one.
Carl?
Yeah, the thing is, I think the past few meetings of this game have been pretty lopsided in Hermantown's favor. For whatever reason, they just steamrolled Rapids.
That's
so I'm
true.
Stick with the Hawks. Yeah.
They killed them last
year. I'm taking Hermantown 5-2.
Wow.
Yeah, because of the sloppy play on defense by Grand Rapids, and that they're going to be on the kill because they have been, like, their whole season, and their goaltending is a question mark because we don't know who it's going to be.
Holam really played well this weekend, so I'm thinking that he might be, believe it or not, might be the guy, end up being the guy. And he's always been about the same as Zach, but Zach's got 3 or 4 inches on him, so Zach's been always been given the keys. I think this might be Gabe's car to drive.
Well, and I think Carl and I talked about this in the beginning of the season. Trent Clatt made a goaltender controversy out of something that really didn't need to be that much of a controversy for a team that was projected as the number one team in Section 7AA, or at least the number two with a very close behind Duluth East.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I agree.
They need to pick someone and run with it soon.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
I agree.
Okay, let's talk about a team that needs to get moving quickly. And Duluth East then plays on Saturday. They come down to the Metro and play Eden Prairie. Carl, you saw Duluth East play this weekend. What do you like about the Hounds?
Well, it was a weird game to watch this weekend. You know, they lost to Blaine 5-2, yet at the same time, watching them in the first period, I thought this team looks as good as any I've seen right now. And when they're on their game, you know, they're forechecking well. They're running that classic East, you know, offensive zone cycle. They look like East from 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
So the potential is there. I mean, Eden Prairie might be a tough order, but you know, they're not a bad team at all. And I think sooner or later we're going to see that.
Yeah, and I think Mike Randolph is going to get his boys in line. I mean, it just took to the end of the season last year to have it happen. I'm curious. I'll be at this game, and I'm very curious to see how Duluth East plays finally, because we've given them a hard time the whole season for not living up to their high expectations. So I'm curious to see that. And they're going to go against a very, very deep team in Prairie.
Yeah, I got to think that EP wins this game.
I do, too. And I think it's going to be a couple of goals,
yep,
too. Just because it's at home, even though East is an independent, you know, school and they travel, I just don't see them coming down to Eden Prairie playing them well.
Now, fun fact, Eden Prairie has never beaten East at home.
Oh.
I love those little stats. Wow. Tidbits. Love it.
Yes, I like that, too. I mean, they do beat them, you know, in double overtime or triple overtime in the state tournament,
yep,
though.
Right.
Well, staying with the Duluth East theme, we're going to talk about a pick'em game now for Duluth East versus Grand Rapids. This happens on Thursday. This is probably the biggest Section 7AA game all season. It always is. This always matters for rankings. What's to like about this game, Carl?
Neither team is ranked, by the way.
Yeah, which is weird. Carl, as an East guy, what's fun?
It's just going to be a fantastic atmosphere. I was at this game 2 years ago when they played in Rapids, so it's hard to get a better, you know, atmosphere than the IRA 6 in an East Rapids game. It's going to be packed house. It'll be a lot of fun, but probably be a lot of goals, too, with the way these two teams have been playing so far.
Yeah, both
penalty kills have been pretty bad, so that should be a great night. Yeah.
Who do you have, Carl?
I got to be a homer. I'm taking East.
Tony, what do you like?
I'm going to go GR on this one.
Okay, I like Duluth East for the simple fact that Grand Rapids has only beaten Duluth East once, which was last year, and the last time before they had Pat White on their team, okay? And so it's a while ago that they actually stick it to Duluth East. So I got to go with Duluth East kind of winning big in this game too,
yeah,
and getting back into the swing.
Just as a slight promo, there's a really good chance that I will be the broadcaster, play-by-play guy, color commentator for Minnesota Hockey Magazine's presentation of that game up north. There's a chance. I talked to Wags today, and he might not be able to make it up for the game, so they might hook me up there, and I'll be broadcasting the game on a competitor's network. I said, yeah, I'd do it. It's kind of like the hockey community, like, oh, you can't make it. I'll step in for you and broadcast that game. We'll be up there. YHH is right. Hosting a tournament in Hibbing this weekend, and so on my way up to Hibbing, over to Hibbing, we're stopping in and watching the Rapids East game. So one way or the other, we'll be covering that game pretty intently.
Yeah, and Carl and I will probably both be watching it at home.
And laughing and heckle me on Twitter, please.
We normally do.
Oh, don't worry.
Yeah. Final game that I want to pick them is the Saturday matchup between Hill Murray and Edina. This game's at Aldrich Arena, Ramsey County Rink itself. This is a big matchup in the sense that there's a lot of history between these two programs, at state mainly. They've played in the last, I think, since 2008, two state tournaments, championship games, right, Carl? Does that sound right?
And
Edina normally has their number in this. Edina normally out-physicals Hill Murray, out-skates them. But I think this year, as they proved last week, it's a closer game than we think. Casey Staum for Hill will probably still be out with a broken foot or a broken ankle, I want to say. And so I think the difference in this game is going to be how can Dylan Mills and Reifenberger play against the Edina top line of Sammy Walker, Copeland, and all that. You know, there's a lot of storylines in here. Two of the best coaches in the state Who do you like in this one, Tony?
Oh, I'm Southwest Metro guy, so we know where this is going, right?
Yeah.
I'll pick Edina. I don't even think it's going to be close.
Okay, Carl?
I would probably stick with Edina. You know, probably a similar game to the Schwan Cup game, close tight game. The one asterisk I'll throw on that is that it seems like Edina every year just goes into a little rut in the middle of January. So we'll see if that happens again, but I'd still pick Edina.
I'm going to pick Hill Murray in this game. I think Hill's going to – I mean, last year they wore throwback uniforms for this game, I want to say, or 2 years ago they did. This is a game that I bet you Hill Murray's going to be wearing their black jerseys from 2008. I'm going to pick Hill Murray in a low-scoring game, actually, and Begley to play well for them as well.
All right. We have one more pick'em game. You said this was the last one. One more pick'em game. This is probably one of the best games. To me, it's the best game of the week.
And I saved it for last.
Oh, you did? Okay. Oh, yeah. All right. So we go Breck and Apollo.
On Thursday.
Is this game in Twin Cities? Or
no, it's up at Apollo, which kind of stinks for us. But
yeah.
This should be a very good game. Breck is the number two team in Class A now after kind of a sloppy weekend.
Who said they're number two?
Let's Play Hockey.
Well, they already came out with their rankings?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yes.
Because they were number one.
They were number one, but
now Hermantown, because they won the Duluth tournament, is back number one.
And Breck lost to St. Michael Elberfield, right? And
then, yeah. In Schwan's Cup Silver, and they lost to Rosemont, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, they lost to Rosemont.
Which are, those are two, like, St. Michael Elberfield, I can understand. This is a team that we don't get.
No, but you can't figure that. So they lost them in the third place game?
Yes.
That's how little I care about third place games.
And here's the thing, and they lose to Rosemont team, that's goal differential is minus .9. So they're,
yeah, you know, Rosemont's another one of those hard, they're in the same category as St. Michael.
Yeah.
Lots of seniors, though, on that team. Rosemont is a definite 3AA contender, not
contender,
favorite.
Not
as if it slipped out, sorry. Contender.
Okay, but
contender.
Getting back to this game, I think I'm going to choose St. Cloud Apollo because of goaltending in this game. That's my opinion. I think their goaltending is going to stand out in this game. Nick Althaus, I'm pretty sure, is the kid's name.
Yep.
He's a very good player. I think he's now my pick on the Senior Goaltender Award because Alex Schilling just...
Yeah.
Schilling fell flat on his face, and so I got to go with Apollo in this game at home on a Thursday night. I like Apollo. Carl?
Yeah, I'm taking Apollo, too. This was the quarterfinal game of the state tournament last year. I won't call it a great game. It's a pretty boring game to watch, but you know, Apollo just played their style and shut down Breck for four periods. So
we're all going Apollo on this one.
Yeah. Ooh,
I have to go Apollo. They're my favorite team in the state, and they will be number. I will give this away. They will be number one in my poll. Let's Play Hockey, proven that they don't really know hockey very well. they know how to print newspapers.
That's true.
I'm serious. I mean, they should know. If you're doing a poll, you should know that Apollo's lost one game. It was on a last-second goal to a top 10-ish double-A team.
Who?
Bemidji.
Oh, yeah.
And they haven't lost since. They're not – this is the only game – they're only and they play a tough schedule. This is not some cupcakeville. I mean, they're playing Hibbing this year. They're playing all the St. Cloud teams.
Yeah.
They're playing Breck. Anyone they can get their hands on, they'll play it. This is my favorite type of team.
Well, and I think they're good this year.
They 16 seniors.
I mean, like Carl said, when I saw them play in the tournament last year, I was actually quite impressed because the previous time they played in the tournament, they looked god-awful against St. Thomas. They only had two shots, I want to say.
Don't remind me of that game.
Yeah.
I have fond memories of that game. Anyways, that's kind of all we have for today's show. This is kind of the halfway point of the season. I kind of like where the whole season's at right now. It's still pretty wide open, but... for following me on Twitter, I'm COHS Hockey Pod. Tony is Youth Hockey Hub. And Carl is at Carl East Hockey. And this has been the Cold Omaha High School Hockey Podcast. Thanks for listening.